Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview. This is a special edition of the Strang Report. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. I have with me in the studio Steve Strang, who's a long time, well, he's 40 years. He's been publishing this magazine for over 40 years. He's grown up, spent a lot of his time here in Orlando, and has a special perspective on this horrific shooting that we've experienced yesterday. So, Steve, welcome to your own Strang Report, and I'm so thankful you're willing to talk about this.
Well, this is very sad, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I mean, sad's not even the right word. Those of us who live here are having trouble even getting our brains around exactly how awful this is. They call it the biggest mass murder in American history. Mm-hmm. And to think that it happened in our own town. I mean, this morning I was on the south side of Orlando going down Orange Avenue, and I get to the barricades where you can't drive down the street in front of where this happened. And I could see down the street all the media with their big dishes and so forth. And of course, I knew what was going on. Actually, I've lived in Orlando now 43 years. I came here as an Orlando Sentinel reporter, and my first job was the police beat. And I remember one of my first stories took me down to what was then called Orlando Regional Hospital, which is only a couple of blocks from where this happened. It's also on Orange Avenue, and that's where, you know, the victims were taken.
That hospital went into shutdown yesterday.
Well, I hadn't heard all those details. I was actually out of town yesterday when this happened. I woke up to the news. Of course, none of us knew exactly what had happened. They first were saying that 20 people had died, and then it was raised to 50 people, the 50th person, of course, being the shooter himself.
Right.
And the first thing that went through my mind was, if I had been on the police beat, of course, it's been a long time since I worked for the Orlando Sentinel, I would have been down there.
Yes.
You know, covering whatever happened, as any reporter is, if an airplane goes down, if there's a terrific fire, or in this case, a horrible murder.
Talk to me as a longtime resident, a businessman, a news reporter, a father, husband. How does this affect you as a man?
Well, I'm still grappling with it. I told somebody today that when I hear the word Waco or San Bernardino or Ferguson, they don't have to say anything else, but something comes to mind. And to think that someday people will say Orlando, I mean, this is
Paris,
Mickey Mouse, you know.
Yes.
This is a tourist industry. This is a family-oriented town. It's an international city now, much more so than when I moved here, of course.
Sure.
But Disney was here back then. SeaWorld was just opening. Universal had not yet opened. So I've seen a lot of changes over the years. And, you know, the thing is that Islamic terrorism can affect any of us. Mm-hmm. None of us are exempt of it. And I think that this will slowly sink in. This is more than just gun control. It's more than just the lone wolf. In fact, their strategy is to get lone wolves. They can't bring an army in here. They don't have an air force to fly over here. They have to get people to do it. And yes, it's horrible that they can get the guns. If they couldn't buy them legally, they can get them illegally. That's not going to stop them. It didn't stop them in France.
What do you think about the hate crime aspect? There are so many people saying he had a special hate for that group as well.
Well, I don't know enough about that to comment on it. But the thing is that the Islamic radicals hate all infidels, whether they're Jewish, Christian, or homosexual, which Islam condemns, not unlike Christianity. And, you know, apparently there was an element of that. But you know what? The thing is that there were innocent people killed.
Yes.
And to me, it's no different than if they had been members of the mafia or something. I mean, it doesn't mean that I have to personally approve of what was going on to be just absolutely heartbroken over this and what it means for our country.
Orlando, it's the worst day in our history. There'll never be a day like this again in Orlando, we hope and pray. There's never been a day like it. Yesterday was amazing to watch the responders. One of the good news stories you may or may not have seen is they called out for help from the blood bank. They needed blood donors. The line was so long they had to shut it down because they couldn't get them all in. You could see it on broadcast television. It was miles long. That people just poured out of their homes to give blood. Orlando people will respond, they care, much like Middle America.
Well, this isn't just Orlando. This is a tragedy for our entire country, for our entire way of life. This shooter who apparently lived down in Fort Pierce just selected Orlando. He could have selected Tampa, Miami. You know, he could have gone to Atlanta. I mean, you know, the possibilities are endless. So this is a sad day for our entire country. Now the Christian community is just figuring out how we can respond. This morning there was some kind of memorial service. I don't know a lot of the facts, but it was at Rollins College. Tomorrow night there's something at First Baptist Church in Orlando, which
and other churches here.
Yes, and there's some efforts to have some kind of community-wide service. There's going to be a candlelight vigil on Saturday night. There's a lot of different things. The outpouring of support that you mentioned about the blood bank. I mean, I would give blood if I had the opportunity to. Of course, when you find out that there's already so many volunteers, it sort of takes off the pressure to give, but I certainly would do it in just a heartbeat, because I think that we have to respond to the victims in love. And, you know, this comes close to home because one of my staff had a daughter who was there. And she left, she and two of her friends left about 30 minutes before this happened. I talked to a pastor this morning who said that five people in his church knew people who were there. And there was a young man at the altar, he said, at the end of the service, who had been there and escaped. Can you imagine that?
I can't. I can't imagine this. We have another staff member who had two good friends that were killed last night. She knew him well. So that's the thing about when this happens in your backyard, you know people who know. It's one thing to read about a tragedy like was in Paris, but when it's in your backyard, you just it makes you feel differently about it, even though it's still tragic. And that's why we're talking to you today, to have you help us to understand how to respond to something like this. How do we as Christians make sense of this?
Well, our trust has to be in God, and you know, the world is full of horrible things, wars, hate. Something horrible is happening every single minute somewhere in the world. It's just that when it's up close and personal for us, we look at it differently than we did with, you know, with what happened in Paris or what happened in San Bernardino. You know, I know that San Bernardino is somewhere in Southern California in the mountains, not too far from L.A., but this happened at 912 South Orange Avenue, 1 mile from where Joy and I used to live when we were first married and first lived here. 1 mile. I know this area well. I've been in that hospital many, many times. Now, I didn't know this particular nightclub. I think it's relatively new. They, you know, took some building and turned it into a nightclub. I don't ever remember seeing it driving down the road. But that's immaterial. I mean, it happened here. It's just the fact that, you know, it's taking me a while to process all of this, to think about it, and how am I going to respond? How are we going to respond? Well, I'm responding with this podcast, with a newsletter that will go out.
Tell me about your strong report that's going out in print. When does it go out?
Well, it goes out as soon as the staff can kind of get it up online.
So today?
Yes, hopefully within an hour or two. I'm being interviewed by a national TV network in about an hour.
Tell us, do you know the URL to find your newsletter online?
Well, they can go to www.strangreport.com, and it's got all my newsletters, and the latest one is first.
Be a real good opportunity to follow you and to get a hold of this newsletter. It's excellent. I know you'll have a really good perspective on this.
And, you know, some of the things that I'm talking to you about, I put in the newsletter, just trying to grapple with it, give a little bit of a indication of what the Christian community is trying to do. We've got to respond in love. Yes. We know that God has a plan. God was not surprised about this. Horrific things have happened in the last couple of decades as a result of Islamic terrorism, including 9/11, you know, the beheadings in the Middle East, what happened in France. All of those were as horrific or more horrific than what happened here. It's just, like you said, it's in our backyard. And I have the possibility, my friends have a possibility, you have a possibility to respond in a way that we couldn't respond if it's halfway around the world or on the other side of the nation.
So, Steve, just as we end this podcast, I'd love to ask you to speak directly to the parents, loved ones, friends of those who lost people in this tragedy. Give us a word of encouragement from your heart and your experience. What do you have to say to them?
I wish I knew exactly what to say. We have to believe in God. We have to believe that God is a good God. We have to understand that part of life are these terrible things that happen. And whenever something terrible happens, it's human nature to ask, why me and why God? You know, whether it's just a toddler who goes out in the street and is killed by a car, we say, why? Why did it happen to our family? Why did our beloved little toddler have to get killed? Mm-hmm. I know this is probably not comforting to those who are grieving, but it is part of life, and we have to go on. We can't hate. We have to love. This is an opportunity to show the love of God. As Christians, we believe that all things work together for good to them who are called according to his purposes. I hope that our country will wake up to the danger that we face. It's an existential danger that's bigger than, I think, what we really understand. At some point, there will be a tipping point where we figure it out. You know, in our country, we have been free of war, really, since the Civil War. You know, that's really the last war that was here. Now, Europe is and other parts of the world have war constantly, one right after the other. But our wars, we typically fight on foreign soil. That's why the attack at Pearl Harbor, why 9/11, why all of those things were so terrible to us, because we're not used to it. But this is a different kind of war that's coming to us in a different kind of way. So I know I'm not really answering the question the way you said. You know, my heart just goes out. I'm just so sad. I'm just heartbroken about what's happened.
Let's pray for him.
Father God, we thank you for your mercy and grace, and even for those whose lives were spared. We don't understand why some die and some don't. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit will comfort those who grieve. Lord, I pray that you show mercy to the ones who are still hanging between life and death, and that you preserve their lives. And Lord, I just pray that you help each of us who live here to know how to respond. We just pray, Lord, for your comfort to the grieving at this time, in Jesus' name.
Hear our prayers, O God. We cry out to you for comfort, for peace where there is no peace, for understanding where it's lacking. Lord, give us a way forward, especially those who are dealing with this in a very personal way. Each one who's feeling lost at this moment, give comfort to those who are grieving. Give them an understanding that human mind cannot. Lord, we dedicate this podcast to those who have passed. We ask you to prosper it in the name of Jesus. You've been listening to the Charisma Podcast Network. You've been listening to Steve Strang on The Strang Report. As more news develops and we feel led, we'll break back into a podcast with more commentary. You've been listening to the Charisma Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. This is Steve Green with Steve Strang. God bless you all. Dr. Bill Hammond, the founder of Christian International Ministries, is considered to be the pioneering voice of the modern-day prophetic movement. In his 61 years of ministry, he has trained and equipped hundreds of thousands of saints and has personally prophesied to leaders of nations. He spent his life training people to hear the voice of God, and because of this, their world has changed. You can also change your world through Christian International Ministry, their products and their events. You'll be equipped to hear God for yourself and others, your role on earth as a believer, your purpose and destiny. You'll receive a wealth of revelation and insight about hearing and receiving the voice of the Lord. For more information on Christian International Ministries, visit their website at christianinternational.com. Again, the website, christianinternational.com. And thank you, Dr. Bill Hammond, for sponsoring this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.